lot of things have colors for a lot of reasons. So a lot of things have colors, sort of like metals have silvery colors, they can be black, rocks can be brown, and there's heaps of things which have different colors for basic reasons. What I wanted to do is talk about dye, and this is DYEs, so you add dyes to something to add some color to it. So dye is sort of like a thing which is super colorful, that you only need a little bit of it to make it colorful. So you've got a dye, say you've got your dress and it's the wrong color, the blue and what's it, is it blue and silver or blue and black, or I've forgotten what the famous one. Well, the answer is just whack it in a dye bath. But if you know anything about dyes, you only need a little bit of it to color it. And this is the entire thing with dyes, is that when nature wants to color something, it doesn't go out and produce huge amounts of something. It specializes and produces a little bit of molecule, just a little squirt of something which colors it. You know, the food coloring you put in cupcakes. You don't, put in half a cup of food coloring. It's just one or two drops. They're powerful molecules which powerfully absorb and emit light. Now, what I want to talk about is, how basically a dye works, and a dye which you can switch on and off. That's right, a dye which can detect temperature is one great one. It switches on and off at a certain temperature, so all of a sudden it changes color. And there's heaps of dyes which there's a poison that changes color, or something's food's off, it changes color. There's a dye which is sort of like the quintessential dye that all students come across, and it's called phenolphthalein. Phenolphthalein, get the phenolphthalein out. And what happens is that it's a very powerful color, and so you put it in some acidic water, a little bit acid, you don't know how acid it is, and you slowly drip in some base to make it from acid to base. So acid and bases mix together, they neutralize each other. And you're just dripping in drip by drip, and then half a drip, it suddenly brilliantly changes color to fuchsia is the appropriate name, but pink, pinkish. It's a pinkish color. Blood oath, you say, and then you put another drop of acid, and you can. So it's half a drop. It flip flops. So what's happening here? So there's not a lot of phenolphthalein in there. You'd be lucky to get like a fraction of a tiny little mist, and it colors the whole thing. It's sort of like a cordial food coloring. So, food coloring, what's going on here? Now, this is Peter Hill Explains, where I entertain you. I wasn't going to say entertain you. We have an entertaining science conversation. Obviously, you're in podcast land, you're listening. But I hope to do two things. One is improve my podcasting style and ability. That's in order to sort of clean technical things up, clean presentation styles, and I can work on some cognitive things in the background to improve it. On your end, you can hear some things, and if you're interested at all, you can chat to people, you can go into the internet and learn a bit more, and just share the general interest. And our general interest today is dyes, switchable dyes, and I've been giving a few podcasts about organic chemistry and those structural diagrams and things like that. But what is the thing about dyes? What makes a dye so incredibly strong? And in general, there's probably one or two exceptions. What makes them strong are these phenol or flat carbon rings with a sea of electrons sandwiched above and beneath them. Sort of like graphite, but only just a little ring of graphite. So if you have a flat carbon ring of six carbons in a ring, but some of them are double bonded, and then six hydrogens on the ring solving it, that's a benzene. That's colorless, but it's just colorless. So if you stick a few of these together, you can actually make basically an electron antenna, something which just picks up light like no tomorrow. These are delocalized. When I say they're electron, but they're, you couldn't say, hey buddy, who you associated with, and the electron shrug its shoulders and say, look, it could be any of these six ones. And basically, if it said, look, I'm on carbon number one, the other carbons would say, "Hey, that's unfair. You're with us all." So there's sort of like a shared commune of electrons above and below the carbon plane. And just to get your head around it, how does it operate? It's quantum mechanics, something called the SP2 orbital. It just means that electrons are above and below the plane for forming a bond, and the other electrons in the plane are involved in bonding in a flat planar way. So benzene's a rather beautiful thing because you can draw it, and it's as you draw it on the blackboard, it's nice and flat. Put a few benzenes together, and you can really get some dyes. And it's all true. How can you switch on a dye? Well, what you do is that if the benzenes are all flat, they're connected such that the water can the so the light can go between it all. It forms a big antenna. You twist or break that antenna, it's like breaking your telly. You can't watch that. You have a bar, and you just go up to the antenna and put a kink in it. Now, the phenyl bonds, these phenyls or ring aromatic chemicals are just everywhere. And I've just given a bit of a furtive talk on pyrroles and a ring of pyrroles, which form a sort of like a super group of delocalized electrons which make your blood red. The blood is red is due to the dye effect of the thing holding in the heme molecules. I'll just tell you that at the moment. So this phenol is a phenylphthalein is a pretty natty molecule, and it's one of those things that obviously if you start removing hydrogens from it in basics, the bases are OH minus, and the OH minus starts to suck up any H pluses. If you remove the H pluses, this is the protons for your phenylphthalein will suddenly change shape, and once it's changed shape, the delocalized molecules form up a dinky dye antenna, and the dinky dye antenna absorbs in the red at the red wavelengths. And this is a heavy description. It's heavy for two reasons. One reason is that I'm trying to a bit like stretching exercises, stretch my description ability. And it's heavy because it's going to require you to really concentrate and perhaps listen to earlier podcasts. And let's go back to an earlier podcast. You don't have to go back and listen to it. But there's an acid which I described, which is called phthalic acid. And phthalic acid had your benzene ring, but two hydrogens removed to it. And on the end of those, where those two hydrogens were, we've started a couple. Carbolic acid group, a COOH. It's actually written COOH. That's a carbon with a double oxygen bond and an alcohol bond. And we talked about that. You've got these two carbolic acid group. It's a bit like a some sort of mad ant with two pincers out, two hydrogen. I've got like a double draw gun, John Wayne, with the two six shooters. He can shoot two photons out of it. Now, if you imagine it being a John Wayne type of molecule, you can add some sulfuric acid, and this carbolic acid will the two six shooters will. Well, I say six shooters. I'm trying to give a description of the alcohol group, the hydroxide groups will sort of stick to each other, or water will be ripped off, and you get this oxygen bond between them. So that's your phthalic acid. And your phthalic acid is the actual structure.
G'day.
Hello, I'm back again after I was interrupted there by a friend who came up. Hello, we're doing phenylphthalein. And we've got phthalic acid as our template here. Phthalic acid is a phenyl group with two acids on it. and the acids are a carbon, a hydrogen, carbon with an oxygen double bond, an oxygen, hydroxyl group. An OH group. Hydroxide group. So you've got your, if you can imagine your ring, and at the top of the ring, sticking up as two ears of carbons, and on those two ears of carbons, each is an oxygen and OH hydroxy group, on each of those. And we talked about that. What we're going to do here is remove from one of those rings, that's one of those ears, the left ear, the oxygen and the OH group, and add to it a phenyl group. And that will get you, it's not too hard to do, that will get you to your phenophthalein. So your phenophthalein is your phenyl group with the two carbolic acids on it. But one of those carbolic acids, instead of having the oxygen and the hydroxide, have a phenyl group, which is a phenyl group is again a benzene, but at the top of the benzene is a OH, a phenyl, an alcohol of benzene. And so how they do that, I'd have to really look at the synthesis. But this is what the Germans really got to. They got to starting making dyes. Now, this dye is a pretty cool dye. What happens is that you really got to focus in on that carbon, which we've really moved on. Underneath it, that carbon is the phenyl with the carboxylic acid on it. That ring, and above it on the two other rings is two other bonds with it is a phenyl group. So you've got to really focus in on the central carbon. The central carbon has three bonds with it, which are all linked to benzene rings, these aromatic rings. Of course, these aromatic rings, if they line up, they're both flat. They create a superhighway for your electron sandwiches above and below. And I'm going to really rip my tongue out if I find someone who can tell me how to explain this more easily. So if those rings, so you've got a central point, and attached to it is three hexagons. There's another point above it, so there's four bonds in the carbon. If you have it bonding to four things, it pushes those phenyl groups down on those butane or those benzene rings, these flat aromatic rings, downwards on the vertices of a tetrahedral triangular pyramid. If you require something to a fourth bond into it, if it bonds to three and there's an electron above and below, or a charge and not an electron there, it's just a flat thing. It's a wonderful thing because it's again flat on the page, and you have this thing which is a dye. So you can switch the dye on and off, pretty much like a press down and up switch. And so if it wants to have a hydrogen or something on it, or if it's got something else bonded onto that central carbon, that central carbon reverts to a normal carbon, which has a tetrahedral pyramid structure. So carbon can take four bonds normally, and on the vertices of three-dimensional tetrahedral pyramid, a triangular pyramid. So a triangular pyramid, if you touch it, ouch, you can get it to touch four of your fingers. You can touch four fingers, one above and two on the flat plane. But if you were to hook onto that, following that angle, these big, large, flat dishes, you imagine like flat paper, I think I imagine it's almost paper plates. If you, those paper plates were at an angle, they're sort of like ping pong bats, but at angles to each other, they don't present a large surface. But if you actually place those ping pong ball bats or plates or hexagonal landing pads flat to each other, their electrons can slurp around each other, and actually slurp from side to side and respond to light, and they become a super thing called a super dye. So only a few molecules colour your entire beaker. So you only need a microscopic drop of phenolphthalein and it's a really big colour. So let's talk about what happens. So when you've got heaps and heaps and heaps of hydrogens in there, and so it's very, very acidic, phenolphthalein has this thing that the carboxyl group has a hydrogen on it, and the electrons are drawn, how do you describe it? The electrons are drawn away from it and reverts to a that central key carbon in the center reverts to its flat form, a three bond form with a central the actual phenolphthalein itself becomes a H plus positive charge. How do I describe it? The to hold the additional hydrogens in it, the central carbon only has three bonds and it becomes positively charged. The H pluses are so charged, the entire thing becomes a big positively charged thing with three additional hydrogens. So if you call the phenolphthalein just the letters for in, for indicator, it converts to H3 indicator plus. So there's heaps of hydrogens in it, and it is a H plus. Everything in there wants to be H plus because the whole acid has got lots of H plus or protons in it. Now, in that formation, the carbon is flat. That key carbon that of I imagine on the left ear of your phthalic acid, which has been had phenols added to it. That's how you make phenolphthalein. And in that case, the two phenol groups are perfectly flat, and it creates this big flat superhighway for the electrons to move up and down, and it becomes a orangey dye, so it absorbs light in the to blue. I'm just trying to think what orange is. So it doesn't emit light in the blue. It absorbs blue light. I just have to think about this. It just is orange. I have to really, if this is my spectroscopy coming back up, we'll have to, this is why I'm doing these talks, to actually flush out areas of my brain, which I haven't spoken to people for a long time, I haven't done this for a long time. I try and get it across. So I have to actually really think of what the spectra, the absorption spectra. If something looks, say your tree is green, well, that's because it's absorbing the red and the blue and just chucking the green away. So what's happening if it's orange, it's absorbing it's recently emitting the red light, so it absorbs light and emits, chucks forward on red light. So I just don't know whether it absorbs red light and then transmits red light in another direction. I have to really think about what this orange is, whether it's a filter. So sorry guys, I'll have to go back and study that. So when it's very strongly acidic, you get this flattening. When it's not so acidic, what happens is that the hydrogen, the oxygen of your second, or your, I'd say your right hand carboxylic acid in your your twin acid benzene group bonds across into your central carbon, and that's four bonds that makes it tetrahedral, and so it folds out all its plates. So when it's very acid, the plates are flat, two plates are flat. When it's when it's moderately acid, there's a bond between, it's this fantastic molecule, it bonds back almost like the anhydrous situation here of that phenolphthalic acid. This is going to be a dreadful thing. I have to apologize at this point in time. It bonds to the central carbon. That central carbon of this phenolphthalein molecule adopts a tetrahedral structure, and so all the plates oscillate like each other. So if you imagine someone setting up the TV, a split TV antenna for your TV, and they don't point in the same direction, it's not going to have any reception, and so it doesn't receive at all the red wavelength. It's really getting back to me, because unfortunately I use these dyes, used to excite these dyes with eczema lasers to make a dye laser, and so that's really screwed my brain in trying to explain what's going on. I've got heaps of things, and this is why I'm giving these talks. However, if you go to making it basic, what happens here is that phenolphthalein was an ion, a neutral. Now you make it a negative ion. To make it a negative ion, you can break the bond between the hydrogen and the central carbon. And for that central carbon, you can actually add an additional electron. There's heaps of electrons here. Look, can I say, so it is very difficult. It's much easier to do. There's about three or four definitions of acids. There's the Lowry Bronsted acid, which is the H plus OH, which is the school acid. But there's Lewis acid, which deals with electrons. It's much easier to deal with the phenolphthalein as a Lewis acid. So look, if you just chuck buckets of electrons, which is making it the more acid. More acid and electrons you add to your conjugate acid, I suppose, the more basic it is. I haven't explained that very well. But in a basic solution, this phenolphthalein just gets heaps of electrons chucked at it. There's electrons to burn around the place, and electrons just get pushed onto this phenolphthalein. And what happens is that phenolphthalein, central switching carbon in the very centre has a double bond thrust onto it, and so this is just to scream for, because you've got delocalized electrons on one phenol, delocalized electrons stuck to that linkage ones, and delocalized electrons on the other side. So this is extreme flat superhighway for delocalized electrons, and this color makes it pink, a beautiful pink. Now we're not there quite yet. If you actually add more and more electrons, this is through the Lewis one, or more OHs, make it more basic. So OH minus is the same as saying add an electron. Actual OH actually bonds with your phenolphthalein. So your phenolphthalein actually gets an extra bond of OH. It gets an OH added to it, which is pretty amazing. In the centre, and your acid groups, your hydroxyl groups at the phenols lose their hydrogen, so the entire complex of your phenylphthalein and OH has a net charge of 3 minus. So there's actually three additional electrons. When this is your carbon switches back to its tetrahedral orientation, and the phenyl groups are no longer in the orientation, and it turns clear again. So let's go through that again. That's a huge thing I've attempted here. Look, can I say that? I really like phenylphthalein. So you can imagine you're looking at molecules, oh yeah, it does that. But something which actually responds, keeps its shape, and responds to different environments and changing its shape to different environments, that is fascinating. I don't know if anyone's ever tried a podcast. I think I may have reached the limit of podcasting, but let's go back. So if you have very few electrons in it, and it's a strong acid, it has lots of H pluses in it, it has the broad formula of H3 indicator plus. So there's electrons missing from it. It's a plus charge. It's a strong acid, and electrons are removed from it. And in that process, the molecule is flat and it's orange. When you don't remove as many electrons from it, and it's a neutral atom of H2. Indicator, so it's got an additional two hydrogens to it. It's reverts to a three-dimensional folded molecule, and it's clear. When it's basic again, and electrons are added to it, it's just the molecule itself, as we've described. It flattens it. So it was flat, now it reverts back to its triangular or pyramidal form, goes to a pyramid form, and it then absorbs in the pink. But then if you remove even more electrons from it, and that means adding an OH, a water to it, an OH minus to it, the addition of the OH minus means that it adopts a pyramid form again, and it's clear. So pyramid form is clear, flat form is coloured. So it goes from coloured, as you go from acid to base, it goes from coloured to clear, to coloured to clear. And the colours are different for each one. So the extreme acid is orange, the moderate base is pink. So the fact that it's a dye, and it's this switch process, so it's not, it turns on the just a fraction, and the whole thing moves from one thing to the other. So it's an indicator, but as opposed to a universal indicator where the dyes are slowly moving moving about, and I'll have to look at the molecules of a universal indicator. This is a switch indicator, and so just the smallest change in acidity can change. It will suddenly go from orange to clear, clear to pink, pink to clear. And this is on extreme acid ranges, but the thing is, because it's changing its shape and the actual energy shape of a molecule, and it's like a spring which is clicking from one point to the other, it clicks on a very small fraction. Now, look, I have to apologize for it. What can I say? I've tried to explain it as best I can. There's just too much science to explain. I'll probably in a week or so's time have another go at it. These are molecules which I really, really like, but if I can suggest that you look it up and look and try and get a visual picture in. The important thing is it's not hand waving. It's easy to understand. If you spend a little bit of time, it is easy to understand. So perhaps doing this, I ask you to keep on thinking science, then doing science, and then teaching it. Thanks a lot for listening.